Back together, you and I, for a Thursday, June 23rd, 2022 edition of Connecticut Today, right here on WICC. I urge folks at the top of the show to calm down, take a deep cleansing breath, relax, and read and try and understand what the U.S. Supreme Court majority said in its latest gun law case. Landmark Legal Foundation President Pete Hutchison stopped by to comment on the Supreme Court opinion. And Barnum Festival 2022 ringmaster Frank Generini talked about a big weekend coming up, festival news and activities in the Park City. Everybody calm down. Calm down about the Supreme Court gun issue today, the opinion they issued. Calm the heck down. This was a bad law, an unconstitutional law that people have been saying for years in New York State, and we're finally rid of it. No, it's not going to become the Wild West in New York City and Manhattan. Not like it's paradise now. Hey, maybe the good guys, maybe the law-abiding people can arm themselves more easily if they have to face the leeches, the vermin in the subway system. And maybe they're worried about getting hit over the head or getting knifed in Midtown in the middle of the day. The Supreme Court ruling 6-3 today that New York's regulations that made it difficult to get a license to carry a concealed handgun were unconstitutionally restrictive. It doesn't mean anybody and anybody and everybody and everybody and anybody and everybody can go out and get a gun now. That's not what this means. But oh my God, the collective just, oh. The climax of pain on this whole thing, relax, take it easy. Understand what this law is about and what this case is about. Before you start screaming and yelling, oh my God, more people are going to die. No, relax, read the opinions, read the reasoning behind the case. The existing standard in New York City, in New York State, required that an applicant show, quote-unquote, what is termed to be proper cause for seeking a license and allow New York officials to exercise discretion in determining whether a person has shown a good enough reason for needing to carry a firearm, stating that one wished to protect themselves or their property was not good enough. So understand what the Supreme Court got rid of today, folks, before you start running around screaming with your hair on fire that more people are going to die. No, this was a bad law that had been in effect in New York, I think, since 1911. But we finally have the people on the high court to look at it and say this is a bad law. So in other words, you could be a resident of New York City, New York State, and have a completely clean criminal record, right? Nothing as much as a parking ticket, nothing as much as a moving violation. Let's just say that you were clean, never arrested. Oh, you got pulled over once because the taillight was out. So they do the check on you, New York gun officials, and they find out, hey, this guy or this gal is clean. Okay, they're not a gangbanger. They haven't been arrested numerous times, multiple times, and then let out on no bail. Thank you, you leftist idiots who now occupy New York City. You're a clean person, no criminal record, and for some reason, right, you want to buy a gun. You, for some reason, there's been more crime in your residential neighborhood. There's been more crime where you commute. Maybe you're a little freaked out now that the number of psychos and animals in the subway now, stabbing people, slashing them, and throwing them on the tracks, is a little much for you. And you say, you know what? Or the neighborhood around my business. You know, I carry cash into and out of my business every day. I want to buy a gun. Well, that did not automatically, even though you were clean everywhere else on your gun application, that didn't give you the right or the knowledge or the comfort to know that, hey, I'm going to be able to get a gun here for whatever reason because I passed all the regulations. There was this extra layer on top of this to where you were judged as to, well, really, what is your reason, Mr. Jones? You want a gun. Well, why? Tell us about that. Oh, really? That's your reason? Well, you know, I don't know. See, it changes the law from a may issue permitting to a shall issue. In other words, if you meet the minimums for lack of criminality, lack of medical issues, whatever, you're a normal everyday person who just wants to add a little protection. You've thought it over. You know that carrying a gun is a big responsibility. You've taken your training. You've heard from people who said, hey, if you pull it out, you better be careful, because if you do that, you have to be willing to use it, right? And you just want to feel safe for whatever reason. Well, what the court essentially said today is, and now other cities are freaking out on this, It's no business of any municipality to judge why you want to carry a gun. You either qualify to do it or you don't. There's no middle ground here. That's almost like saying, oh, well, thank you, Mr. 17 or 18 or 19-year-old or 20-year-old. You want a driver's license. Okay, well, see, there's no medical problems, and you haven't had any illegal moving violations. Okay, so you qualify for the license, and you're all ready to take the courses and everything, and you're going to buy a new car, or mom and dad's going to buy you a new car. And that's almost like there's this middle man or middle person, right, who steps in there and says, why do you want a car? You know, the environmental damage that even a four-cylinder engine can do. Is this something you really want to do? Yeah, but I qualify to do it. Yeah, but, you know. So what the Supreme Court did today is they said that's illegal. That's illegal. And what the court is saying and what other people are already saying now, you got to write a better law. And that's it. That, you see, folks, you have to understand something. Good, well-written laws don't make it to the Supreme Court. They don't. Well-written laws, laws that are written properly, that are looked at from a variety of people that don't have a partisan build on any of this, and say, listen, okay, we want a certain law, but let's make sure this makes sense. And you ride along, you bring in judges, and you bring in consulting lawyers and say, hey, is this going to stand muster? And if you take the time to write it and say, well, you know, yeah, it probably will, you're probably okay. You know, you're probably okay. The majority opinion was written by Judge Clarence Thomas, which is wonderful because a conservative black man drives the left crazy, drives the left nuts. And don't call me about what his wife did with January 6th. You know what? Nobody cares. Did you see that Democrat yesterday who told somebody at Politico nobody cares? We'll get to that later. I have a chunk of that last night. This Politico reporter, I think it's Bob Woodward's daughter, I'm not sure. But this woman writes for Politico, and she was told by an unnamed Democratic member of Congress, the bottom line is nobody cares. Gasoline is $5 a gallon. I told you. What did I tell you? Now, it doesn't mean it's not important. Let's not say something here that I'm not saying. Doesn't mean it's not important. Doesn't mean we shouldn't get to the bottom of this here. But again, what do people care about? Gas is $5 a gallon. That's what they care about right now. They can make their minds up when it comes to Election Day. But Judge Clarence Thomas wrote the following. And again, this is a long decision. I won't bore you with the legalese. But here's kind of the understandable part. Quote, Judge Thomas wrote, in this case, petitioners and respondents agree that ordinary law-abiding citizens have a similar right to carry handguns publicly for their self-defense. We, too, agree and now hold, consistent with Heller and McDonald, those are previous cases that ruled in favor of gun owners, that the Second and Fourteenth Amendment provide an individual's right to carry a handgun for self-defense outside the home. Because the state of New York issues public carry licenses only when an applicant demonstrates a special need for self-defense, we conclude that the state's licensing regime violates the Constitution. What Judge Thomas is essentially saying is that if you have two people, the same economic strata, two men, two women, man, woman, whatever, law-abiding citizens, right? And one is a janitor and the other is a diamond merchant or somebody that works, you know, in the diamond district, you know, 46th or 47th between 6th and 7th there. I'm sorry, 5th and 6th, block away from Madison. Well, you know, we're likely to approve the gun For the diamond merchant, because, you know, they carry on their body. They don't leave the diamonds in the store. They carry a couple of million bucks home with them every night, so they should get a gun. But, you know, the poor schmo, the janitor or janitorette or whatever, the guy or gal who has to mop floors every night and they have to get off their subway stop in a bad neighborhood to get to their office building, nah, you don't get a gun. Yeah, but wait, I feel unsafe. Yeah, but whatever. Whatever. We gave it to the guy who carries a lot of cash or the guy who has to schlep diamonds back and forth. Justice Thomas noting the state statute does not define what proper cause means. See? Bad law. And that the courts had ruled the standard was met by people who showed a, quote, special need for self-protection. Thomas wrote, this special need standard is demanding, for example, living or working in an area noted for criminal activity does not suffice. Does not suffice. So the New York law was saying the fact, Mr. Jones or Mrs. Jones, that you're afraid of getting hit with violence in your neighborhood, that's not good enough. So this is what this was about. Everybody, take it easy. Calm down. You gun owners, what do you think? Our question of the day, facebook.com/WICC600. The Supreme Court says that needing to show proper cause for a concealed carry gun permit is unconstitutional. Do you agree? Or are you angry at this? Do you think that third parties or another administrative layer should give the final decision as to whether or not, even if you're a law-abiding citizen, whether or not you get to carry a gun? A couple of minutes now with one of our legal eagles. We've had Pete on before, Pete Hutchison. He is the head of the Landmark Legal Foundation, the Ronald Reagan Legal Center as well, talking about what happened in the Supreme Court ruling today. Pete, it's Paul here in Connecticut at WICC. How are you?
Great, Paul. Thanks for having me on again.
Pete, the left is freaking out, Pete. They're in full freak-out mode. Their heads are cracking. Their eyes are rolling back in their heads. Because, Pete, the Supreme Court, I thought myself, just my opinion, in a wonderfully written opinion by Judge Thomas, Justice Thomas, said you can't add a layer of subjectivity to what should be an objective process of whether or not you meet the requirements for a gun permit, a concealed carry permit.
That's right. This case today is, you know, it's very straightforward. It decides one thing. And Justice Alito in his concurrence says it. I'll just tell you what he said. All that we decide in this case is that the Second Amendment protects the right of law-abiding people to carry a gun outside the home for self-defense, and that the New York law, which made it virtually impossible for New Yorkers to carry a gun for self-defense, that those kinds of laws are unconstitutional. Now, listening to the governor of New York today, who was absolutely on fire with histrionics, you would think that bazookas are now going to be carried by all kinds of New Yorkers, and that everyone is in danger. It's the wild, wild west. But, you know, as Justice Alito pointed out in his concurrence, and he wrote this because the dissenting justices led by Breyer, Justice Breyer, said, you know, they brought up what happened in Buffalo. They brought up Uvalde. They brought up all kinds of examples of gun violence. And it's true. All these things were terrible. But as Justice Alito said, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about today. And by the way, the guy in Buffalo, the terrible, terrible shooter, he was in violation of New York's law. So, you know, these things don't do any good unless you are in fear of being a crime victim walking the streets of a dangerous city in New York. And that's all the Supreme Court did today is to say, and it's important, though, to note this, that the Second Amendment creates an individual right that cannot be infringed upon without a justification by the state. And it's not what the left wants it to be, which is guns are bad. People shouldn't be allowed to have them. Go ahead and regulate however you want to. That's no longer going to be allowed.
Pete Hutchison is the guest from the Landmark Legal Foundation. Pete, quick break. Hang on. We'll be back with you. First, traffic and weather together right here on WICC. One of our legal eagles, anytime we need stuff explained to us, Pete Hutchison, Landmark Legal Foundation. Pete with us for a few more minutes. You know, Pete, one thing I said earlier, judging, on all this stuff of, you know, the hyperbolic stuff we're hearing right now. Well, if these cities, Pete, like New York, are so concerned with gun violence, and yeah, maybe some people who get guns now will turn violent. Pete, one of my easy peasy ways of sending a message here is make the sentences, Pete, for convicted gun criminals tough, longer, no plea bargains, and send a message, Pete, saying, okay, now, it's going to be easier for New Yorkers to get guns, the law-abiding ones. Don't play around with this, because if you do, it's going to cost you. Heaven forbid they look at that.
Well, right, and get rid of these prosecutors who have these no-bail policies so that when somebody is arrested for violating a gun law, you know, they're turned loose that day. Even assaults are not being prosecuted appropriately. So you're absolutely right about that. We've got to get serious about cracking down on a crime of all kinds. And, you know, that's going to be when people stop wanting to carry guns, is when they feel safe. You're absolutely right.
And Pete, it was amazing. And here's what I never understood about this. Maybe you can fill me in on this. In that New York law that's now been struck down, saying that even if you meet all the legal requirements, there was some sort of imprimatur you had to get to carry right. The gun. Who was making, Pete Hutchison, that final decision? Were they police officers? Were they prosecutors? Okay, you're allowed to carry a gun because you carry a lot of money on you, and you can't, and the excuse that the neighborhood you work in cleaning floors is not safe, that's not good enough. Who exactly was doing this, Pete? Do we know?
My understanding is that those decisions were being made by fairly low-level bureaucrats, but I don't know for sure who was making those decisions. But you're right, it's a subjective thing. And in the oral argument in this case, the Solicitor General of New York was given a hypothetical of a person who I think is actually was presented by one of the briefs, an African-American woman who walked to work at night, was scared to death because there were many attacks, many violent acts that happened along the way to other people. So she carried a gun. And under that scenario, the Solicitor General of New York said, no, she would not qualify for a permit. If that's not enough, what is? And there was an example, it may have been the same person, it's a very similar fact situation, where the person violated the law, was arrested, prosecuted, and incarcerated for defending him or herself. It's just completely backwards in New York and many other big cities around the country who have these stringent laws but are incapable of protecting their people. It's craziness.
So, Pete, before we move on to the other things the court did, what could these states do now? I've been reading about designating certain areas, certain geographic
right.
areas, as saying, well, in this specific area, you will need another layer of okay. Is that what
right.
they may try and do now?
Yes, and that's essentially what Justice Thomas was saying has to happen. You have to have an area that's like a public area where police protection is or public safety is being accounted for, you know, like a grocery store, a bank, you know, an airplane, public places like that. But, you know, that doesn't count if you're in a neighborhood that's not protected, is not a safe place. And, you know, there has to be an accounting for those sorts of situations. And rather than having the decisions being made by little low-level bureaucrats, the decision has to be sort of a presumption that you may carry your weapons unless you're in a particular place that the courts recognized as safe areas. So this does not end all gun regulation. There are lots of regulations mm-hmm. on the books that aren't going to be okay. So calm down, everybody.
Yeah, well, exactly. As I say, you know, if anything, Pete, this will make those officials in New York and other cities actually have to think this out a little bit more, right?
Going to be tough for them, you know, but they can do it.
All right, Pete, finally, I know the court did a couple of other things. I guess the other one that's the talkable today, Miranda rights, Pete Hutchison. And, you know, that stuff we all hear on Cops and Live PD and all that. What case dealt with the Miranda rights here, if you can brief us on that?
Well, this was a case where a person was arrested and questioned and was not given their Miranda rights. And so they turned around and filed a civil lawsuit, you know, wanting a civil rights lawsuit, wanting money damages for having their Miranda rights violated. And the Supreme Court said, no, we're not going to do that. You don't have a right to bring that case. So that was all that was decided there. It didn't scale back Miranda. It just says you can't go get civil damages because you weren't read your Miranda rights.
Interesting. Folks, check out the site, Landmark Legal Foundation, landmarklegal.org, and one of our legal eagles, Pete Hutchison, always joining us with the latest. Pete, thank you. We appreciate it. Take care, and we'll talk down the road.
Thanks, Paul, very much. Bye-bye.
I appreciate it. Yep, Landmark Legal Foundation, which is a conservative organization, but hey, all the other media outlets let you hear from the liberal-leaning side of things. Nothing wrong with that. We just got to, you know, balance things out here. So there you go. And again, you know, this does not, the decision today does not mean that every area of a big city like New York, Chicago, L.A., Boston, or even cities like Bridgeport or Hartford or New Haven is going to be the Wild West. But the laws are going to have to be fine-tuned here. You can't just, as Pete said, hide some sort of final stamp and imprimatur with a low-level person, a lower mid-level person who is adding, again, a subjective argument to an objective situation. And he even pointed out there in the oral arguments to this case, and people have been worrying about this case now for like a year and a half or whatever. You know, really? And I guess he said the example was a single black woman walking by herself in a bad neighborhood to work where there has been crime, and she wasn't allowed to, you know, the New York official said, well, that wouldn't qualify. I mean, come on. See, this is the perception that gets people upset, right? The perception that the legal, and I don't care what it is, whether it's a red city, a blue city, whether it's guns, whether it's larceny, car theft or whatever, there's always this perception among people that the law-abiding citizen or the law-abiding gun owner or the law-abiding individual is kind of second tier here. Well, you know, this might end up in more criminality. Well, okay, what if it doesn't? What if it actually makes people safer? Well, you know, you can't do this because you can't put more people in jail for guns because that's not fair to the person. They're spending too much of their life in jail. Well, maybe they shouldn't have committed a crime. How's that? I mean, we have descended. And look, it shouldn't be totally pro-victim either. Again, the scales of justice, it should be common sense, a punishment that fits the crime without saying, well, we're going to do less time because that person is a certain race or nationality or skin color. No. How about we do something logical to keep more bad people off the streets without throwing kids in jail for first-time offenses? But again, remembering what the rights and privileges are, logically, not crazy, logically, to a person who keeps, quote-unquote, keeps their nose clean, right? Keep your nose clean. You heard that coming. Obey the laws and everything is good. How about we care more about those people? This gentleman has been on with us several times over the past couple of years into and through the pandemic stuff. And, you know, the Barnum Festival has reinvented himself and started all over again and has emerged. And there's good stuff coming up this weekend. Frank Generini, the 2022 ringmaster for the Barnum Festival. Frank, it's Paul here again. Good afternoon, sir. How you doing?
Great, Paul. How are you?
I'm good. You hanging in there, Frank? You sound good.
Yeah, we're very excited. We're coming up to the finale of the Barnum Festival this season.
Yeah.
And this Saturday, mm-hmm. Barnum Festival's Champions on Parade.
Okay,
at Kennedy Stadium.
So what does that entail? What time? What are we looking at, Frank? What would people see if they showed up?
So it's this Saturday, June 25th at 6 o'clock, and the competing corps are the Bushwhackers, the Caballeros, and the Hurricanes, with an exhibition of the Connecticut Alumni and Mag Brass. Tickets are available at cthurricanes.org/Barnum.
cthurricanes.org/Barnum. And you know, Frank, I've been to some of these in the past years, not associated with the Barnum Festival, but other drum and bugle corps and band competitions. Yep. And these things are really entertaining, Frank, right? They're one-of-a-kind things.
They truly are. They truly are. The marching and the configurations that they perform on the field are something to really be proud of, you know, and to enjoy as you watch it as well.
Absolutely.
And Frank, the music, of course, is fantastic.
Frank Generini is the guest. Frank, hang on, because there's more coming up. We've got another couple of things to talk about to wind up the Barnum Festival for the time being. Frank, hang on. Frank Generini joining us again, friend of the program here, Barnum Festival ringmaster for 2022. There's other stuff coming up this weekend as well. We'll talk about that with Frank when we come back. Traffic and weather together right here. Smack dab on the sixes, 436 on WICC. All right, it's coming up to the big wind-up weekend for the current edition of the Barnum Festival, and Frank Generini is with us. Frank, of course, the 2022 Barnum Festival ringmaster. So we talked about the event, some of the events coming up. The Champions Parade is coming up this coming Saturday, the 25th. And then, Frank, a couple of really cool things I see on Sunday to wind the whole thing up. What's coming up?
Sunday's a great day for us. It's a great street parade on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It starts at 12 noon at the intersection of Fairfield Avenue and Park Avenue.
Yep.
Then we'll head south on Park Avenue towards the Barnum statue at Seaside Park. And that's going to be a great event. We've got a tremendous amount of floats and mm-hmm. marching bands, and the Mummers are going to be there, and the Shriners with their little cars, and it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of dignitaries. The governor is going to be there as well.
About that, huh?
Yeah.
I'm very
excited about that.
And do I see there's some fireworks as well, Frank?
Well, before the fireworks fall.
Yeah.
At 7 o'clock, we've got the Joe Calzone Band featuring Tony Ferrigno, okay? That'll be at the Seaside Band Shell.
Mm-hmm.
That's at 7 o'clock. That's an 11-piece band with a horn section and everything. And they're going to entertain everyone down at Seaside Park from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock. And then at 9 o'clock, Paul, they're going to have their greatest fireworks in the state of Connecticut. Right at Seaside Park.
And that's got to feel good, Frank, I would think, because all the stuff that had to be postponed and rescheduled and everything because of COVID-19, and you and I talked about this over the past couple of years more than once, that's got to be a nice way to at least wind things up until the fall again.
It's terrific. I'm so excited and so thankful that everything kind of worked out for us, and I can't thank the sponsors and the volunteers enough, you know. And Sunday, everything is free, Paul. So I encourage everyone to join us, really, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to be a great time. The Barnum Festival's business is putting smiles on people's faces.
And looking forward, Frank, now let's hope that the pandemic doesn't bounce back, and let's say we have a handle on this. Good stuff coming up in the near future, Frank Generini, for the Barnum Festival. What's ahead?
Well, we'll be celebrating our 75th year next year, okay? We have We have to select a new ringmaster. I've been the only person who's been the ringmaster more than once, mm-hmm. but it's unfortunate that the pandemic made that happen. But
yeah.
But now we're moving forward, and thank God that hopefully this is all behind us, and the pandemic is behind us, and we're looking forward to celebrating our 75th year. Since 1948, there's been a Barnum Festival. So we're very excited about that, and it's going to be a jubilant year for us, that's for sure.
Well, Frank, listen, and, you deserve the great credit. You and I have talked multiple times over this, past yep. couple of crazy years, and you and the staff there, you and Frank and everything, you kept everything together. You said, damn the torpedoes, we'll get past this, and when we get past it, we'll all celebrate. So the big weekend coming up. And you know what, Frank, I would imagine just the fact that you kept it together and you're going to have this big weekend coming up in Bridgeport, that's got to be pretty satisfying to you, I would think.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't be prouder. I really, really couldn't. And on Monday I'll be considered a past ringmaster.
Well, hold on, Frank. Can we make you like ringmaster emeritus? How's that? How about that? Huh?
Yeah.
You like that? Because I have when I have academics on the show, Frank, it's always professor emeritus. If they're retired.
Yeah,
so, Frank,
right.
I am designating you, Frank Generini, right now, ringmaster emeritus. See, I just did that. How'd you like that?
Thank you very much, Paul. It's always been a pleasure to be with you on the show.
All right. Frank, thank you. Be good. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk down the road. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you so much, Paul.
All right. There you go. Frank Generini wrapping up his tenure as ringmaster, the 2022 ringmaster for the Barnum Festival, which is just a string of events spread out over the course of about a year, 9 months or a year. But it had sputtered a little bit, because of COVID-19, as everything did. But they got themselves together. We got past the worst part of the pandemic. So again, let's go over the stuff that Frank talked about. Champions on Parade this coming Saturday, 6 p.m. Kennedy Stadium in Bridgeport, sponsored by, of course, the Connecticut Hurricanes. Gates open at 6. The national anthem at 6:30. First competing corps at 7. Now, the competition is going to be the Bushwhackers, the Caballeros, the Hurricanes, and the Sunrisers, exhibitions by the Connecticut Alumni Drum and Bugle Corps. Now, reserve tickets, $20 in advance online, 25 day of. General admission, $12 in advance, $15 day of. Kids 10 and under free. How about that? K-12 students, $5 general admission the day of, and that's only with a school ID. So the big band competition, Kennedy Stadium in Bridgeport, Saturday at 6. And then Sunday, you've got the fireworks and the parade. The parade kicks off 12 noon sharp at Fairfield Avenue and Park Avenue, goes all the way to Seaside Park. And then, like Frank said, later on, you've got the fireworks. Right around maybe 9 or so, but there's the orchestra, the big band orchestra, that starts about 7 at Seaside Park. All right, so I guess the weather should be pretty good this weekend. It'll be a little warm, so stay hydrated out there and check out the Barnum Festival this weekend. The band competition on Saturday, band concert, fireworks at Seaside Park on Sunday after the big parade.